Perception proudly presents a true horror story. Edward James in 5150. In today's tale, you will find no ghouls, no goblins. For this is a tale of
mental illness. Greetings, all.
Sorry about that. Greetings, all. As a child, I was afraid of everything. I was afraid of the dark. I was afraid of the concept of death. I remember lying awake at night for hours, just unnerved with the reality that everyone living will someday die. I was afraid of techno music. I found it unsettling. I once heard that the less that you remember about your childhood, the more traumatic it was. Now, my childhood was not traumatic in the least, but nevertheless, most of my memory from childhood is spotty at best. I definitely feel like there was some sort of auto-delete feature on my childhood as it went along. What I do remember, though, is a strong disassociation with myself. Looking back, I can say that most of my fears, if not all, were a manifestation of this disconnect that I've had with me for as long as I can remember. Now, I'm not here today to deep dive into my rich history of mental stability or lack thereof from time to time. I am here today to tell a story. A spooky story. As Halloween rolls around each year, we are tasked with asking ourselves and those around us, what do you fear? What unnerves you? What scares you? Like I said before, as a child, everything scared me. As an adult, I can step outside of that and realize that most fear comes from within, if not all. Today is the story of the last time that I felt fear. Today is the story about the last time that I felt a lot of things. This is my John Osterman to Dr. Manhattan moment. This is my Bruce Wayne to Batman moment. Not quite Bruce's parents being murdered, but definitely Bruce Wayne falling down the Batcave if you're going with the Chris Nolan mythology. Okay, in truth, it's not nearly as interesting because while reality can be stranger than fiction, it's usually not as exciting. But I digress. This might be the first moment in my life that I could look back at and be painfully present. No distractions, no bullshit, no disconnect. I looked in the mirror and it was painfully obvious who I was and where I was in the world. I still don't know what you can call it, but something left me that day. Something died inside of me that day. And it's never come back. This was rock bottom for a part of myself that I needed to get past to move on as an adult. This was Bob from Twin Peaks. This was Bad Coop. More like Sad Coop. Again, you'd wish for that level of entertainment, but it's a story nonetheless. But without further delay, let's get to the actual story. I'll try to set the stage as simply as possible without going into every convoluted quote-unquote horror story leading up to these few days. I was living alone in Los Angeles, Los Feliz, right behind the Scientology building. This was 3 months removed from having separated from my ex-wife, moving out of the apartment that we shared. I was working 2 jobs the year prior, taking care of my stepdaughter, commuting 35 miles every day. One job was graveyard. My son was born in April of that year. This story takes place in August. I had moved to Los Angeles to be closer to my job in Burbank, which was now my sole full-time job, graveyard. I was getting very little sleep. I was broke as hell, so my diet was shit. I was surviving on pretzels, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and cheap ass water beer. I was recently separated. I was not getting the opportunity to see my son nearly as much as I wanted to, and then just struggling to survive at work and they were not good times. Without going into my relationship with my son's mother, we made our lives as difficult as possible at the worst time in our lives. We threw everything within the span of a few years. Divorce, having a child, moving, getting married, obviously. It was just stress upon stress upon stress. So my nerves were shot by this point. There was a reconciliation at one point. So after a couple days of the least amount of sleep, the most amount of stress, the most amount of drama, the least amount of nutritional value in my body, I made the commute to go see my ex-wife after my graveyard shift. My mental state was a tightrope those days, and I cannot imagine being set up to fail more perfectly than that day. No specifics necessary, but there was an argument cut to me on an island in a blazing hot car, staring into the sun, basically just completely shut down. Now, it's very hard to explain to people what I mean by shut down. There have been two instances in my life, one when I was about 15 and this one when I was about 23, where all operations just completely shut down. My brain sends a signal to my body and it's just self-destruct. An implosion, a flatline, basically. The police were called. Those have to be the best calls for a police officer. We have a suspicious male, presumed broken emotionally in his car. My brain was fried. And to have to explain what was going on in that state of mind to a perfectly sane police officer, I mean, probably hilarious. That was the day that I was introduced to the term 5150. If you're not familiar with the term, 5150 is the detention of mentally disordered persons for evaluation and treatment. When a person, as a result of a mental health disorder, is a danger to others or to himself or herself or gravely disabled, a peace officer, professional person in charge of a facility. Basically, the police officer asked me if I'd be willing to go to a mental health facility to be evaluated because I don't think he knew what the fuck was going on with me. And to be honest, I didn't know where that day was going. That was not the day that I ever would have imagined. I had no idea what to do with myself at that point. When I was finally able to get a call out the next day to let my family know where I'd been and what had happened, my mom's point of reference was, oh, 5150, that's that thing that Amanda Bynes was just held on. So there you have it. I became the Amanda Bynes of my family. So if you're wondering what all those pussy murder tweets on my feed were about back in the day, there's your answer. Is that a dated reference? People remember that, right? Anyway, I'm taken to the local afternoon daycare placement facility. They call around, check with my insurance. Meanwhile, I'm just sitting, staring into space this entire time. After waiting around all day, I was finally informed that my insurance covered a mental health facility in Los Angeles. Now, keep in mind, I worked in Burbank. I lived in Los Angeles. I was commuting back and forth. I had gone to work the previous night, made the commute back 35 miles east, was transferred to this daycare mental health facility, then was told that I was going to be taken back to Los Angeles in an ambulance at about midnight, getting less sleep, less nutritional value in my body. I couldn't move at that point. By the time they got around to getting me into an ambulance to take me to the mental health facility in Los Angeles, to most people, the definition of insanity is a seemingly perfectly healthy 23-year-old just completely shut down, telling you that they cannot move and you need their assistance to get into an ambulance. Driving down the freeway at midnight, passing cars, and you can see inside an ambulance. I don't know if I've ever felt more ridiculous in my life. The bar has been set so high that I can never get close to that. I can never be embarrassed again. I was paralyzed for those 2 days, though. The guys in the ambulance would make small talk with me, letting me know about where I was going and about how when they would drop off patients, there would be people walking around, some aggressive, some a lot of space invasion. It seemed like not cool alien kind, but a lot of personal space that isn't respected, and I guess just muttering, angry, mentally ill people just walking around, cursing at each other. These guys were good storytellers. It wasn't nearly as bad when I got there. From now on, I'll reference a Yelp review that I wrote several years after actually attending the mental health facility. I'll cut in with a little director's commentary every now and then. I arrived in an ambulance late on a Sunday night on a 5150 and was welcomed by the night staff with a chair, a cup of water, and the orders to lose the shoelaces, the belt, and put your stuff in a bag. You'll see them in 3 days, hopefully. Yeah, I did not eat until about halfway through my stay here. It's a 3-day stay. I hadn't really eaten anything the day prior going into this, and probably hadn't had a solid meal that entire week. But for some reason, that was the only time in my life that just the smell of food just repulsed me. It wasn't even a conscious decision that I'm not going to eat. I just physically, my body just couldn't process hunger for some reason. One of the worst things about this experience was I was actually wearing my contacts. I have terrible vision. I was wearing my contacts before I went on this involuntary adventure that I didn't plan for. So I spent the entire time either half blind or with really dried out contacts. Anyway, the staff is pretty blunt here. There's not much sympathy going on. They're just trying to get your story, see where your head is at. It was late and past bedtime, so it's basically a matter of getting me meds and putting me to bed in a room with a few strangers. Really creepy. Obviously, people get here at every time of the day, and I was getting here probably at 1 in the morning, so it was a pitch black room, probably about 5 or 6 people in there. You could see people sitting up in their beds, and then you know, they're just directing you to your spot over in the corner, and you can just kind of see people glancing up to see who's getting dropped off in the middle of the night. Everything is very straight to the point. There's a schedule of awkward groups where people complain a lot, generally talking about how they're not getting any better. Yeah, I stood in bed for almost the entire first day, and probably every half hour somebody would come check on me. And my favorite was a guy that, without having ever had a conversation with me, he would come tell me like every half hour about what group was starting, and he would tell me, oh, I think that'd be good for you. There are people that dominate the groups. So you spend an hour listening to them every group. If you say more than a few words, and those same people take the floor back and try to relate their story to yours. These are the worst people. Nobody in there that's worth talking to. It's just awful. I will say this right now, in caps. Do not think that this is the place to shut down. I came in and thought I could disappear without being looked at under a microscope. No, this is not a vacation. Don't stay in bed. Wake up, eat the food, go to the classes. Chances are if you end up here, you are nowhere near 3 days out from functioning. But being stuck here past 3 days is not what you probably need. Yeah, you're evaluated a couple times a day by the psychiatrist. And I mean, it's not a vacation. If they see you parked, shut down, then I mean, I don't know where you go from there, but you don't get out after the 3 days. I stood in bed, cried through music therapy. That was another one of my friend's suggestions. That would be good for you. Music. You like music, right? Again, never had a conversation with this guy, but I think that was my first group. You're gathered into a room. There are a few different stages of this music therapy class. One is I don't think songs are played, but there's a guy that sits at the piano and, what does this make you feel? Plays a few notes. What does this make you feel? Why does this make you feel happy? Why does this make you feel sad? And then there was this great guy at the back of the room who would go on go off into the most random tangents about music theory, and that was entertaining. I like that guy. But yeah, so you end the group with everybody's favorite mental health facility activity, karaoke. Yes, I'd never done karaoke in my life. And I you know what? This stands as being the single time. No, you know what? I didn't actually sing. You're forced to choose a song and you're supposed to sing should you feel inclined. But I mean, hey, to be fair, a good portion of that class actually got on that microphone. Oh, God. I hadn't really thought about that specifically until now, but yeah, watching karaoke in a mental health facility, that was an experience. But you're forced to choose a song, if nothing else, and I chose Unforgettable by Nat King Cole. Again, there's a book, there's a list. I didn't get to just choose anything I wanted, and I honestly didn't give a fuck. I want to say I chose Unforgettable because of Watchmen, and that kind of sucks for me because I can never watch Watchmen again without thinking about that. I can never hear that song without being taken back to that moment and just having people stare at me as the song plays. And I just was just my face buried in my arms. Just, that was awful. Awful. So yeah. A low point in my life would have to be crying without my contacts in, not being able to see anything, all to the tune of Unforgettable by Nat King Cole. I love that song. I wish I didn't have to associate it with that. I was told that I would get a longer stay if I didn't eat, so I mean, definitely day two or three, I forced myself to eat. And after I realized that that was probably the main deciding factor of whether or not I was going to leave, yeah, I ate. A day or two of eating and participation got me out and depressed in my apartment alone. Again, I didn't come out of this super happy, super chipper, but this was definitely the building block to just leaving all of this shit behind. Solid win. The staff and doctors are good people. They are endlessly patient. They deal with crazies. I had no ride home, and my doctor wrote a slip to get me a taxi instead of walking home. I had no idea where I was being taken. There was one window in this building, and each time I pass this building on the 101, I can almost pick out the exact window of that mental health facility that you look out onto the freeway and just realize that you're at your low point, and you wonder how you got there. They're good people. They do what they can. Don't end up here, or you will be 3 years out and counting the days since rock bottom and finding a half-written review you were too embarrassed to share. So I did write it. I just didn't post it. Stay crazy. You are unforgettable. That's stupid. I'm taking this down. I don't support this review anymore. It was an experience. Sometimes I wonder what happened to the people in there. There was a guy who, this is like a 3-day hold facility. There was a guy that was in there probably over 3 weeks. I don't know how he ended up there for that long, but he had the most calm. He reminded me of the kid from The Blind Side. He was a big teddy bear guy and just had the saddest, just defeated look. And that's the thing about this place, is that you're not going to get anything out of this. You basically have to be honest and stay there, or realize that it's better to just bullshit, get out, and be depressed on your own terms. Take this experience and apply it any which way you want, but for the most part, the answers are not going to come in here. This is rock bottom. If you need an indicator of your lowest point, this is the place for you. And I think from that, in that respect, it's productive. There was a lady that yelled just all day, would just yell at the staff, "You asshole, you son of a bitch." I mean, it's childish, but that was a solid source of entertainment in there. So when I finally got out, I realized where I was, and I actually was about 2 miles back from my apartment in Los Feliz. So not a bad place to end up. I've gone through depression in my life. I've dealt with anxiety my entire life. I've dealt with OCD. I've had bipolar tendencies. I've always had a cornucopia of mental issues, mental quirks, if you will. Nothing was ever the same after those 3 days, though. I'm not gonna sit around and bullshit and say that everything was cured. You would be shocked, though, how far the most ridiculous, embarrassing experience of your life can go in putting everything in perspective. What scares me? What unnerves me? What do I dread? All fear in the world is just a bullshit manifestation of yourself. You have to be put in a place like this where the only familiar peace, the only comfort, the only place that you can look is within yourself. Strip away everything else and look in a mirror, and your thoughts can go nowhere else except for the person that you see staring back at you. And once you realize how ridiculous you are, how insane of a path you can lead yourself down, you will realize that you can't put the weight on anything in the world around you, because everything is coming from you. It's only as crazy and ridiculous as you are. That's what I understood that day. That's the power. That's my superpower. That was the day that I gained perspective. That was the day that I finally understood. There's nothing scarier than wasting time on stupid bullshit that you can control. There's nothing scarier than putting yourself in bullshit situations. There's nothing scarier than thinking that you are a victim of reality. The way that you perceive the world is everything. Reality will always be exactly as ridiculous as you perceive it, as ridiculous as you make it. You can't underestimate that. The only legit fear in life is staying Amanda Bynes.
That's it. That was more pathetic than scary. I guess it made me feel better about myself, by comparison. Whatever. They better fix this next year. Happy Halloween. I really didn't care for that.